I remember hearing stories about witches. Is it true what they say?
Hello and welcome to this What Do You Want to Watch spoiler discussion of season one of Netflix series The Witcher. I'm your host, Ashley Hobley. Joining me today is Dylan Blight.
Hello, hello.
And Kieran Marchant.
Hello, hello.
So we did previously do our spoiler-free thoughts on the series a few weeks back, me and Dylan. But Kieran, you weren't there. I would like to hear your thoughts on The Witcher.
Like, spoiler
what are your thoughts
free?
On this season? Spoiler-free.
This is a spoiler-free section?
No, you can spoil. This is completely spoiler-filled.
I think that's fine. Maybe. I really loved it. I really loved it and enjoyed it. There were changes made to Geralt as a character and to some of the stories to make the story that they were trying to tell throughout the Netflix show make sense.
How much history do you have with the Witcher series?
So I have read the first two sets of short stories, and I have played all three Witcher games in varying degrees of length and time.
Okay.
So continue. They made some changes to Geralt as a character, which took me a bit by surprise, but I had to, you know, once reflecting on that, I really liked it and I agreed what it did for the story. I loved what they've done with adding more context for Yennefer as a character. You don't really get that from the books at this point of the story, so getting that more context and more and building upon that's really great. And I think the three lead characters, all lead actors did fantastic jobs at their parts. And beforehand, when it was, you know, rumored or said that the majority, like, Geralt is not in a good portion of the show, it was probably a bit worrying for people. But I think both the actors play Yen and Ciri both do really good jobs of carrying their parts and making you involved in their section. So there was no feeling of, you know, I can't wait till we get to the next Geralt bit. It was, you're enjoying it no matter which person's story was on the screen.
Dylan, what are your thoughts now seeing the last three episodes?
I mean, I really liked it. I can't remember what score I ended up giving it. An 8, I think, something like that. I don't know. ExplosionHope.com anyway. I think the last three episodes, which wasn't given access to ahead of time, obviously, were the most, like, coherent, like, less jumpy around, obviously. And that, I think, is how the show is obviously going to go forward. My favorite thing over those last couple episodes is literally the last episode, the way it opens. Because I'm like, oh, it's so smart. They have all the, because each episode opens with a different signet, or whatever you want to call it, being shown. And then right at the end, they all, like, melt away and wrap and form the Witcher's one. So it's like all of the timelines and things like converge finally, and you get the proper Witcher opening logo, I guess, which is what's going to happen in the future. But yeah, I think the last two episodes are really, really good. I mean, I like the rest of it, but I just enjoyed the last two, like, war thing happening finally, like seeing the show actually be like, okay, because in a lot of ways I still feel like, as much as I like this season, it still very much felt like The Last Wish book, which is that it's like kind of this prologue-y book, and then it's like, here we go, let's start the actual story next season.
It always feels really weird, especially if you don't realize that, it would probably be even more confusing, but just the sheer time jumps and the sheer differences in time throughout the earlier stages of the TV show aren't always obvious. There's even points, even I've rewatched the opening of this show, and there are even signposts in the first episode that there's different time, there's different timelines in this going on, which is really, really interesting. Once you know, it's easier to look for. But I think when you've got characters like Geralt and Yennefer that, you know, once Yennefer goes through her transformation, and Geralt being a Witcher, they don't age at a normal pace, so it's really hard to tell. And even you would think you could have Yeskir as kind of your barometer for how old Geralt is, but even he doesn't seem to change that much throughout the series.
Well, there's like let's say there's like 10 years between the time jump between like when Geralt last sees him, and then it like apparently jumps ahead like roughly 10 years, I guess. And then, I mean, you can get away with that jump and being like, he doesn't look like he's aged. But obviously, if it was 50 years later, it'd be like, you should be like grayed haired and like, but 10 years if he's like 25 and then suddenly he's 35, he can be like, yeah, well, like, I don't know how old Yasuke is supposed to be, so.
It gets the story posts, I guess. The timeline story posts get kind of set once it gets to, is episode 4 is the thingy of surprise episode where
Geralt, I think it's 4.
Yeah, I think it's episode 4. That's the episode where the timelines have to kind of then be set because he's only got, what did he say, like 12 or something years between then well, until
depends he has on how old Siri is.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's of Banquets, Bastards, and Burials, episode 4.
Yeah,
I really enjoy the series. I think it's a lot of fun. I can understand some of the criticisms, which we'll get into in a bit, but I really had a great time. I really think I've raved about Anna Chaltora, or whatever her name is. Probably should learn her name. Who plays Yennefer. I think she does a fantastic job. She's probably the leading star in the show, even though, you know, everybody knows Henry Cavill, but I feel like she's going to be the next Emilia Clarke, you know, who kind of gets rave reviews and probably has a very successful career after this. Don't really love the series storyline. I think that was the one that I was least interested in. I think everything else was more interesting around it. Yep.
Yeah, series is kind of weird because it takes period. Oh, it both seems
very
to take,
little happens.
Very, very little happens, and there's random kind of checkpoints that she goes through of this is where she's here. But then also, I found it the weirdest thing that there was such a, because unless you pay attention, in between the first and like second episode, she's on the run for like 3 or 4 days or something. And then she goes to the camp and everything there. But when Geralt gets to that camp, everybody's dead, and I think something's mentioned that it's been like that for like it's they've been there for a week or something already, so which is really weird considering Geralt left the castle and the city the night of the attack. It's like, well, how far is there and there, and how long did Geralt take to do this, and it's just a little bit, there's a little bit of the timeline stuff they don't get quite clear enough, and I think that's because for the early episodes, they're either not making it completely obvious, or they're trying to almost keep it a secret for twist reasons, I guess, or for, you know, narrative reasons.
Yeah. Okay, so over on Rotten Tomatoes, the site that Dylan loves, The Witcher Season 1 is currently sitting at a 58% for critics, although it is currently got a audience score of 93%, mostly citing the very dense opening of the show where there's very little handholding in the show. And of course the way that the story is told, with multiple timelines, being confusing to some people. I found that stuff super rewarding. I feel like I felt smart when I figured out certain things. I'm like, I think I said on the last one, no, I told Dylan off screen because we weren't allowed to talk about it. that I think I was like 3 episodes in before I went, oh, this isn't all taking place at the same time.
There's like one, it is the third episode where they kind of give you a really big signpost because they introduce you to Foltest, and then they also have baby, like little Foltest and his sister in Yennefer's storyline. So it's like, it kind of then goes, oh, okay, there's
big there's very subtle hints, but it's not until episode 4 that I feel like most people will realize what's going on, because episode 4 is obviously where Geralt goes to the banquet and you're like, oh, okay, right. So this is the mother.
I appreciate that the timelines allow them to make use of a lot of characters multiple times throughout the series without the things that happened earlier necessarily having impact on them. Like, I really like how Mousak's used throughout the entire series. I really like that we didn't just get the Queen and the King only used for the first episode, that they were able to come back later. Even stuff like using Stregibor, not only through that first episode story for Geralt, but to have him incorporated throughout Yennefer's storyline, I think is really good use of characters, and also minimizing the amount of characters they have to use. Because I think, especially across the three storylines, especially some like Straggy Ball could have been a completely different character in Yennefer's storyline, and that would have been another character to get to know and understand or have some kind of reference for. I think it was very strange with Yennefer's storyline. They introduced the kind of leader of that rebellion, the guy who could blink with his sword and bring his sword back or whatever. I can't remember his name. I found it was interesting that he just seemed to appear in towards those last couple of episodes, and it wasn't, you know, it was probably a little bit harder for anybody to get some kind of understanding, because I think his storyline at the very end of the series is very weird. Because I think I haven't rewatched that section yet. But yeah, his character, I didn't quite fully understand what was going on there with him. But other than that.
I don't mind the timeline stuff, because I think it's I legit think that's the best way they could have told this story. Because they don't want the series to focus on Geralt, because, I mean, that's not what the books is. So it doesn't make sense. And they want to be able to tell the full story of also Yennefer and then Ciri. So without literally having, like, how do you chronologically tell this story? You have Geralt meet Yennefer, and then you do a whole episode of flashback on Yennefer. Like, the episode after would be nothing but Yennefer flashback to tell her story, I guess. Like, previously, 100 years ago. And then by the time you get up to Ciri, then all of a sudden you're like, spend an entire episode with nothing but her on the run. And then people would be like, that episode was shit, because it was just nothing but a whole episode of her on the run. Whereas doing it this way, by having it all not be chronological and what's happening, it allows them to tell the story they tell in the season, and in an interesting way to constantly keep you engaged with every single character's storyline that's happening. I really don't think that you could have done it any other way, and I like the way it works, especially because it does do that. Like, it keeps you engaged as a viewer, like, when stuff happens, especially if you've never read the books or know anything about the games or whatever. So then it's like, all of a sudden, when you come to episode 4 or whatever, you're like, oh, right, so this, but why does that character end up making this decision like 20 years later, blah, 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 blah. And I think I said it in my review or whatever else, but it's also what I've generally, my general feelings for this is that, I don't know, like, if the way people like watching shows or just like taking in stories is kind of changing, but I always felt that, like, when I was younger, if I read a fantasy book, it was always a challenge, because it would have the most made up words, the most made up character names, fucking spells, you know, like all this stuff that you had to really commit your brain to reading the book properly to understand what's going on. And as a kid, I struggled the most with fantasy books because they required the most concentration, but then they were the most rewarding because that's why I think people love them, right? That was my thing. I'm like, why do people like Lord of the Rings? Because it's like literally an entire world. Why do people love Game of Thrones? It's this entire world. But to love the world, you have to commit to it and learn it. And I'm like, why are people all of a sudden with this show being like, oh, there's too much, like it's too hard to take in? I'm like, look, you just deal with it for the first couple episodes or whatever, and be like, this is a lot, but then eventually it breaks and you're like, okay, cool, I'm good. Because even I remember back, like, Game of Thrones wasn't this bad, but even like Game of Thrones, it's like king this, such and such over here, like lots of places you don't know. It's like people weren't complaining then, were they? Well, not that I know.
Game of Thrones season 1 was the worst, because Game of Thrones was like a lot of heavy exposition in character discussions about different things politically going on throughout the storyline. It's like, fuck, okay, I'm trying to keep up, and oh, that's this person. I think even narratively, The Witcher in general isn't the easiest, like, there's no hand-holding in The Witcher really ever. The Witcher 1 story starts, like the video game Witcher, that game just kind of starts. Like, there's not much bringing you into it. It just kind of begins with the siege on Kaer Morhen. The second one is much the same with the third. Just kind of starts and doesn't really bring you in. There's not much hand-holding. The same with the books. The books are just, I guess the books are easier because it's just the short story, so you get little snippets of who Geralt is and these little intersecting sections in between each one to kind of explain what's going on.
The books aren't any easier because it's still, it's like, here's a short story, you better be paying attention because we're going to, and imagine reading these without having played the games or anything. I feel like it would have been harder, but at least I have the context of the games the first time I tried reading a book, right? And it's like, what is this? What are witches have magical powers? What are the rules of magic in this universe? What's this? Like, lots of words. You feel like you need a thesaurus, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, The of course, the first season of the show is going to be as big a hurdle as the first book. Like, how do you make it? I don't understand how you make it any easier. Like, that's what I'm saying. I do not get this complaint. Full stop. I don't get it. I feel like if it continued, you're like, we're fucking 2.5 seasons into the show. I still don't have any clue about how this universe works or anything. I'd be like, that's a fair criticism. But like, to watch an episode like that E person did to call them out, E whatever, whoever wrote that thing, EW, right? So to call them out, like, to watch an episode and be like, it was too hard to understand a world that has a whole bunch of mythology and stuff for me to learn. I'm like, yeah, of course it's going to be hard. Like, like fantasy settings require you to sit down and take a second to take in the rules of the universe and whatever else is going on so you can fully get in and experience it. And I feel like that's why a lot of people don't like fantasy stuff in general, is what I thought. You know, like, why don't you like this stuff? Oh, it's too hard. Like, I can't remember. What's this work? Like, blah, 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 blah. Some people hate Lord of the Rings for that reason, I swear. So, you know. Not a good criticism to me, in my opinion. Like, if you don't like fantasy in general, that's okay.
Wrong show for you though, if you don't like fantasy.
Yeah.
It's really but not I'm like, the right show.
To complain that it was too heavy in one episode or whatever, too hard to keep up with, nah.
It was just, like, as you expect from any fantasy series, like, the first series is going to be a lot of world building, yeah, a lot of setting goalposts and letting you understand what means what, you know, what is actually, like, they explain how magic's used, they explain the different kind of monsters, they explain, like, not the different kinds, but they show you a variety of monsters that are in this world that Geralt goes after, and the things he deals with as a Witcher, and explains to you what a Witcher is. It does a great job, I think, of building a world. I think it's one of those shows that gets better concurrent viewing. So if you view it a second time, there'll be a lot more you pick up on because you have that base understanding already. And I think it does a good job of building itself for the season two.
Well, I remember when they were doing when Lauren Schmidt was doing the head honcho of the show, was doing interviews prior to its release, and people were asking, like, oh, are you like skipping the first like book? Are you just skipping straight to Sword of Destiny or whatever the hell it's called? Like the first proper, like, let's get into the series storyline. And she was like, nah. And people would be like, oh, why? But they're just like a bunch of short stories. And she always said that she's not skipping that because all of the stuff, all those short stories are important for the audience to have an understanding of how witches work and how magic works and blah, 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 blah. So that's why they start the show this way. And when I say that I feel like the first season feels like a prologue, I'm not saying that negative, like, as a big negative, in my opinion. That's simply how it is. Like, this, it's a very good prologue, but then obviously season two onwards, I feel like people will probably like more if they don't like this, because it's going to be a more, like, straight structured show generally. Like, all of our characters are together now. Season two starts. Here's freaking Ciri with Geralt. Okay, let's go find out what happened again. Blah, blah, blah. You know, our heroes are now on an adventure together. So, yeah.
Yeah. And it's even, you've got to, when you look at it, it kind of, it fills you in on things, especially, like, the show consistently tells you through the rest of the characters, witches don't have feelings. Witches don't have emotions. Witches are just these cerebral assassins. But these stories,
fuck.
Yeah, like, these episodes show that's not true and shows you Geralt as a character, which I think is really good to build up on and to play throughout the series.
I mean, that's literally the storyline of all the movies and all the books and games, really, is that Geralt, they're like, witches don't care about anything, and I don't care about politics or anything. It's like, well, how come every 2 minutes you're getting involved with politics and literally much. All that very sort of much. Stuff? You cannot escape it.
Do you guys have any other criticisms of the series before we go too much further? I think the CGI and maybe monster work is not the strongest.
That's my
biggest thing I've seen. I think do you guys feel about the dragon design?
Ugh.
I've seen that
it's kind of bad. I don't know if would we think it was that bad if we hadn't had the Game of Thrones dragons already? Because yeah.
Merlin. It looks like Merlin.
Yeah, it wasn't great, but I dealt with it. I think for a lot of the, I guess it's part of the stories anyway, that a lot of the monsters that Geralt kills is generally during the nighttime anyway. So that helps, but I think then they've really leaned into that night fight. Like the fight in episode 3 with the Sturger, I think, was kind of hard to watch because it's a lot of black underground rooms and this cat and this creature that is.
But I thought that one looked the best also. It looked the scariest because it was always kind of at a distance and because it was nighttime, and it kind of being set that way means that it was the best looking also, even if you couldn't see it very well. Because you couldn't see it as well, it then became the best looking.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, okay, that's fair. And I thought even CGI, I didn't think the battle scene in episode
last
one
episode?
The battle scene in episode one, like the war scene between Nilfgaard and Sintra and Sintra's armies. I didn't think that looked very good if you were to spend any time looking at kind of the background of what was happening. And I think there was just lots of quick cuts of just very brutal kills to kind of show the brutality of war instead of it being displayed very well.
I think for the most part, the CGI is not terrible enough that it ripped me out of the show. It's noticeably not up to the quality that you would want for the designs of creatures and these sorts of things. But I don't think it was terrible. It was simply like noticeably bad compared to the quality of the rest of the show, which I thought was really good. Like the way everyone was shot. I know people are complaining about his wig. I personally didn't have any problems. Everyone's complaining about some makeup and stuff. I personally had no problems. So for someone who had no problems with any of that stuff, the CGI stands out as like the sore thumb. But I'm hoping, given that this show has been a pretty big freaking success, I would say. It's been talked about quite a lot. Everyone's watching it. It's all of a sudden got Witcher 3 to be like the most played ever.
Apparently the most streamed thing on Netflix.
Yes.
The most in-demand streamed show, and then also more people are currently playing The Witcher 3 on Steam
than
even on its launch day. Yeah. More people
are
playing that game now.
About like how many people have watched this and then gone off and really been like, I really like this, or like even if they didn't love it, they're like, that was good. I want more though. Like, let me go play the game. Let me go read the books. Let me do this. And I was someone, I dived straight back into the first book. Kieran dived straight back into the first book again. So it's like, this show has definitely succeeded in being like setting up the universe. Even if like people, if you're seeking it more, it's because you liked your time in the world so much, even if you didn't love the storyline as a whole. So I don't think the CGI ruins that or anything, but then it's also like, okay, the show is a big success. Surely we get Netflix goes, you can have a bigger budget for season 2. And then hopefully we can just hope for better looking monsters next season. You know, like, they didn't have a hairstring budget, but I highly doubt Netflix was like, here, have all the money straight away. You know, that would be like, let's hold on.
They kind of, they would, you know, part of me would think they'd be like, well, you guys have got Henry Cavill and stuff, and we would have put a decent amount of money on that. So you've got your money, like, use, work
turns
it.
Turns out he did it for free because he just loves
it. Yeah, because he fucking loves it that much. It's like, okay, sure, fuck.
Yeah. Last thing before we sort of go into characters. Obviously, the obvious comparison that's been constantly brought up is Game of Thrones. Do you feel that's a fair comparison? Should they be brought up together at all? Or is it that's just the standard bearer for fantasy TV shows? And
my answer is very easily, because I included it in the first opening paragraph of my review, because for this year, this show dropping, everyone was going to compare it to Game of Thrones, even though it might, like, the show is nothing like Game of Thrones, but everyone's going to compare it because it was the next big fantasy-like show to come out after Game of Thrones. So I can understand how people going in, even if they knew nothing about it, may have been seeking a Game of Thrones replacement, quote unquote. However, as we move forward after this year, it stops because it's like, it's done. That can be, we can't be doing it. For this year, I could understand why people would be like comparing it.
Yeah, next time it'll be compared to all the other Game of Thrones replacements that are coming out in the next couple of years.
Let's not.
Lord of the Rings, the next Game of Thrones series. They've got their Wheel of Time
if
series.
If I read a review of someone comparing Lord of the Rings to anything other than Lord of the Rings movies, then I'll be like, calm down.
Even just, you know, as a fantasy world, as a fantasy setting, Game of Thrones, even though it has dragons and it has White Walk and stuff, it's still very grounded. Like,
until
it's
the last
still
two seasons.
Yeah, till the last couple of seasons where it was like, oh, okay. But it was still very minimal on magic. It was, you know, where I think The Witcher is very heavy and big on magic and mutations and characters that are beyond the world that we know. Yes, there are still politics in The Witcher, but we're not, the story is never going to have us worrying about more than one political side we'll only be seeing Geralt and Yennefer's and Ciri's kind of point of view of things. Mm-hmm. There won't ever be like jumping across to Nilfgaard and watching what Nilfgaard's doing, and should we root for Nilfgaard, or you know, jumping across and seeing Foltest and everything.
Lord of the Rings is very much a typical fantasy story that a lot of people base stuff on now, because it was a straight up heavy fantasy, good versus evil story. George R. R. Martin then decided he wanted to make a fantasy setting like Lord of the Rings, except for have a bigger focus on the people and the decisions that were happening in those battles and the political stuff. And that was a decision done on purpose, obviously. I feel like The Witcher is like, I want to tell a high fantasy setting, but like with focusing on a character or characters that are kind of floating through this world that are influencing stuff as they go. And it's not like super political, but it's also not unpolitical. You know what I mean? So I feel like The Witcher sits in between Game of Thrones and Lord of the Rings, because Lord of the Rings isn't very political, or if at all. Like, it's just very much good versus evil. Game of Thrones is very political, all about that shit. And The Witcher just sits in the middle. Like, it does tackle that stuff, but it's also not its main focus, I guess. You know, like, it's a mix of everything. You've got fucking magic monsters, political shit, everything. By the way, I saw people complaining there's too much politics in this. I'm like, boy.
You guys have no idea.
How about we start talking about Yennefer, whose story is chronologically the starting point, I guess, of the series. True story of coming from the bottom now here. She starts off as a hunchback in the middle of nowhere. Ends up being recruited to this magic school, I guess, kind of, to become a powerful sorceress. She has to give up her womb at some point for the powers, you know, and then she manipulates her way into being
mage kind of council.
Court mage or whatever some kingdom, which doesn't end up well. Ends up quitting that job, pretty much.
Is that what you called it?
Yeah, that's what I call it. Does some backstreet, like, dark behind the scenes, you know, back alley stuff. And then at the end of the series, it gets recruited back into the Brotherhood of Sorcerers to fight against Nilfgaard.
Not really.
Kind of.
She gets asked.
Like, she gets asked and she says no, but then still goes to, like, the Resistance, which wasn't really a Brotherhood of Mages thing. It was like an off-break where they were like, nah, fuck you guys for voting badly. We're going to go do this anyway. But, yeah.
How do you feel about Yennefer?
Yeah, I was going to say, I feel like Yennefer has the strongest story of the season, like the biggest arc, obviously. Because Ciri, as we just discussed, like, I like the Ciri stuff, but it obviously spans a very short period of time and not much happens with her other than, like, she escapes and hides. And Geralt is, I mean, Geralt's Geralt. Like, it's fun to watch him do stuff, but, like, I wouldn't say that he has a huge character arc apart from those setups and stuff. Obviously, like, with Yennefer and then at the end with his parents and these sorts of things. So Yennefer has the biggest, I'm a hunchback, get sold. Literally, my parents sell me for a gold, one gold coin or two gold. Like, less than a goat.
Is less than a pig. Yeah, less than a pig.
Yeah, because it's like literally, if you pay attention, you realize that she's sold for less than a fucking animal. So her dad's an asshole. And then she has obviously.
Not really her dad, though. It's her stepdad. It's a stepdad because her real dad's an elf.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
Just stepdad.
So he's an asshole. She has like the strongest story for sure. And I agree with everything that Ash was saying before about her. I was saying a Charlotta. Is how I was saying, by the way. Yeah. Anya Charlotta?
Let's go with that.
Because it's Chalotr. Yeah, so I was saying Charlotta in my head.
Charlotra?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't heard anyone say it yet. I could have watched the interview, I guess, but that's how I've been saying it every time I've seen it in my mind anyway. But yeah, I think she's the standout from the series, obviously. A pretty much unknown actress until this point, and she very much makes the role her own. Yennefer is, I guess, super interesting character, especially portrayed in this. Especially if you're coming just from the games where she's just kind of has her shit more down packed, I guess, and like seems, especially in the third game where everyone knows her from, obviously, because she's not in the two prior. She's like very, has one mission objective and she's trying to do it. She's very much out to, you know, save Ciri and blah, 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 blah. In this one, she's mostly very selfish. Like everything she's doing is for power, for herself, because she wants to be powerful and she wants all this sort of stuff, especially with, like the Last Wish episode with the djinn and all that sort of stuff. It's like, bitches be crazy kind of thing, you know, like, like what do you do? What are we doing over here? But
yeah.
No, I really enjoy her storyline. I think she has the strongest one. And then when you get to the end of the season, then you see her actually show some emotion for other things other than herself, which is that, well, you see it for the baby when she loses the baby that she was looking after. You see her, that's a good scene because you get to see her upset, and that obviously is supposed to, that's when she, I guess, clicks and starts thinking about the fact that she'll never have a baby of her own and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
That's where all that stuff comes in. And then by the time you get to the end of the series and you see her actually fighting for something and then getting upset by seeing her friends being killed, that's good. And then her release that big magic fire and then die. She ain't dead. She's come back. That was good. Yeah. So I enjoyed her, and I think she's the strongest storyline in the series.
Karen?
I think her storyline is strong because they have the most space to work with for it, because a lot of Yennefer's stuff throughout the books and even in the games is very, you're learning it through Geralt's eyes, so it's only whatever Yennefer's telling him. There's only, like, in the books, there's only, I think, a single line or two where Geralt realizes that she used to be a hunchback. And
he spots something about her neck or shoulder.
No,
or
he looks in her eyes and he realizes that her eyes are filled with the desperation of somebody who had only known, like, to the feel of being a hunchback or something that's looked down upon and looked at as despicable or ugly, I think is what it says in the books. So to go off that with only the minute bits and pieces they know here and there about the Brotherhood, about the sisters, and kind of put that together for Yennefer's storyline, I think they had the most freedom to do that with. I think she had really good chemistry with the freaking other Brotherhood apprentice that she was, that she first met when she first teleported and everything. I can't remember his name and I don't know why.
Istrid?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah,
it's Istrid. I thought they had a really good chemistry together and their storyline was really interesting. And I think it's really amazing. I've watched a couple interviews with the actress, and she is so far away from what Yennefer is. It's really impressive to see acting. the extent of her acting prowess. I think they rush a little bit of her storyline in a way that in the books, she 100% hears what Geralt says is the last wish. She hears it and knows what Geralt says. And they're the only two people that know what Geralt said. And there's only ever been rumors about what the wish was, or, you know, kind of people theory crafting. And she instantly becomes enamored with Geralt that way, and it takes her a lot longer to start questioning her affection and her love for Geralt.
That's also a part of the storyline in Witcher 3, which is set after the book. So
yeah, which is Witcher 3, where she goes to in Witcher 3, she asks him, and then there's a side quest in Witcher 3 where she's looking for another djinn to undo the spell, so that she can work out if her feelings are real or if they're. Which I think it's very interesting that they've already tackling that in the first series, like towards the end of this first series, like the last time Geralt and Yen see each other, they're tackling that kind of, well, is this love real that I'm feeling for you, or is this because
I'm glad they are, because it's a big part of the franchise.
I'm glad they are. I wish
their love story. So
no, I'm glad they are. I just wish they'd give it more time to breathe and let maybe that'd be a later thing in season two. Let that be, because it's very, you know, it's like
the next episode. It was a red herring in like episode 7 or 6 or whatever it was, basically. Last time she sees him, spits it. Like, it's basically near the end of the season before you get the two-part finale.
It's just, I understand why they did it. I think there's a lot of narrative changes they did for the sake of the story they're trying to tell in the series. It's kind of, there is a weird time jump between the last wish and that next episode. I can't remember how many years it is, but it's only mentioned in a sentence that Geralt and Yennefer. It's a long time, and Geralt and Yennefer have seen each other a number of times throughout that time period. So I think for some people narratively, without seeing those times, it's hard to understand the growth that's happened between the two of them, rather than, you know, just having 1 minute at the end of the Last Wish episode and the next, and you find out, oh, he left her at that time, and this whole thing. It would have been interesting if they'd let that breathe a little bit, let that go on, and then have at some point later go through having her having these questioning moments. Other than that, I really like Yennefer. I think she's great. I think anybody who is having misconceptions about, oh, she doesn't look like Yennefer, or this could be different, it's like, she's Yennefer through and through. She's really good at it as well.
All right, let's jump into Geralt. Played by Henry Cavill. Obviously, he starts the season at arriving in the city of, old town of Blaviken. Doesn't end well. He goes on a bunch of other adventures before eventually meeting Yennefer. Then he gets to the city of whatever it's called, where all the king and the feast and stuff is, and he ends up being tied to Ciri forever, and then through the lore of surprise, and then more adventures happen. He goes back to Claymore, he gets imprisoned, and then he breaks out at the end. So, how do we feel about Geralt's story this season?
You go, Karen.
Okay. I think overall, Geralt's story is still really fantastic and really good. I really enjoyed going through all the short stories for him, and especially in the earlier episodes, because that's how it's kind of like a throwback or an homage to the books, because let's just minor note, it's a throwback to the books, you know? It's not a bath scene that's paying homage or paying respect to the game. No, that was in the book. Thank you, everybody. Everybody just shut up.
No, but it's shot to look like the game.
I think it's both.
It's both.
In my opinion.
I think Geralt is probably the biggest change they made as a character compared to Geralt in the book for me, just because Geralt in the book really has his shit together, apart from in the Blaviken storyline where he wavers because of Renfri and everything she puts him through. But in the book, overall, when it comes to Ciri's storyline and like him being promised Ciri and everything, in the book he is so like just he has his shit together for that, and I don't think that's very good. That's not the story that they wanted to tell in the books. In that's the lore of surprise. Geralt knew that the princess was pregnant prior to him saying that. Like, he was the one that already knew it. And Calanthe reacted really well to that, and they were really surprised and everything. There wasn't the pissed offness that happened at the end. And Geralt, and even though it like made the best comedic moment throughout this entire bit, is just him stood in the middle of that saying fuck, realizing what he's just done. But I think they make it so that Geralt has attempt to give Geralt a character arc throughout this, where he is rejecting his destiny a lot of the time. You know, as Nick said publicly, that he wants to play Destiny 2 again because they were talking about Destiny so much. But it changes so that it's about him running away from his destiny and his acceptance of that. And I see why you're changing that. That's fine. That's cool. I think Henry Cavill as Geralt was fantastic. I really liked his Geralt. I think it was a lot closer to the Geralt from the books and from the movies than we were expecting. I think a lot of people were worried when Henry Cavill was cast. But as I tweeted out while watching it, Henry Cavill has like the Geralt grunts on point, where he answers questions or answers people just with a grunt or a noise, and you know exactly what he's saying from the sentence, you know exactly his intention behind it, and it was really good that was still being able to be portrayed on the screen. His relationship with Jaskier is just as good as it is in the books, if not even better on the screen. It was really enjoyable to watch. And I think overall, any changes they made to the short stories, apart from the second one because they didn't have that much time allotted for that story. I think the rest of them all fit really well and did a really good job of showing Geralt's character's changes and his what he is to this world.
Yeah, I love him. I think everyone was like worried, but I can't picture a world without Henry Cavill now playing him because I just think he does such a good job. I definitely feel like his performance is very much influenced by the games, but I have no problem with that. Like the most game thing to this is his performance as Geralt, in my opinion, especially when it comes to the grunts and stuff. That just reminds me of game stuff, like at times just hearing, because obviously it's hard to do subtle background in books because it's like more proper actual dialogue, and in the books Geralt actually spends more time actually just talking to people, like straight up answering their questions, whereas in the game he just does a lot of like, and it says a lot. So I feel like that's an influence from the games, and he says he's obviously loved the games and read all the books and everything, so it makes sense. And then he's the buddy duo of him and Jaskier's. So I always say Jaskier, I don't know, whatever.
Jaskier. I think it's that kind of J, I think it's Jaskier, because it's Polish in the Y.
Yeah. That's why I always say Jaskier, and then you're the second year when you're like Jaskier, I'm like, am I saying it wrong or are you saying
it wrong? I'm probably saying it wrong, I'd say.
Their like duo thing is hilarious, obviously, like especially when he gets like the Djinn episode or the Last Wish or whatever you want to call it episode at the start there where they're like all arguing and just the way it turns out, like, you need to take a nap. Like, I just love that whole thing. And then when he gets banned, he like takes him into, I love where he takes him into that doctor's tent or whatever. And he's like, he'll die soon or whatever. That's like, like that whole, that dude is so good. Like in that role, and him and Geralt have such good back and forth. And in general, Geralt like has really good back and forth, and depending on who he's talking to and whatever else. But then also like they get to do things and show like, Because of his character and because he's like the whole witches have no emotions type thing, there's like a subtlety to like the growth of actually having, in a lot of ways, I feel like Geralt as a character like kind of grows out of or grows a personality, I guess, once he meets like Yennefer and whatever else, and Ciri and whatever else. He goes from just being a non-caring witcher to suddenly he starts growing more of a personality and care for people and whatever else. And like even through this series, you start to see some of that, like when he starts fumbling with Yennefer and stuff like that. Even that one part at the end where he's like, fuck, like, you know, like, oh, like when he's like trying to talk to her and stuff like that. So just like subtle details. And I definitely feel like they're going to build a lot on his character at, like at the end with his whole dreaming, the mother scene and like the flashback to him as a child, which obviously to me teases that that's a storyline they're going to explore in season two, like potentially more flashbacks to him as a child. As far as I'm aware, they've never had like a proper flashback in the books to him as a kid. Like they talk about what happens to him as a kid, but they've never had like, let's flashback and have a chapter and show you what he was doing as a child. Like that, we know why he, because I'm not saying it because it's a spoiler, I guess, for season two, like why he ends up a witcher, I guess, because they don't explain it in this first season, so I'm not saying that. But I feel like we're going to get information, not just he says it offhandedly or someone like just says it to him. I feel like when we get the information, it's going to be a flashback to build more emotion towards his mother, which will then help build more of a personality for Geralt and so on and so forth. So I'm really interested to see how they take that character, especially with Henry Cavill playing the role, because I feel like he's got the Geralt like gruffness now down in this first season. So it's like, okay, well, let's start giving him some more scenes to be emotional about, and let's see where he can take that, but still keeping it tempered, you know, like get emotional but not too emotional so it's not outside of Geralt's characters kind of thing.
Good though. I love Henry Cavill. I think he did a great job. He does a really good job during all the action sequences. Obviously that first sword fight in Bladven is really impressive. He looks good in a bathtub, you know, and that's half the battle apparently on the internet. 10 out of 10 bathtubs. He gives good grunt, so what more could you want? So let's move on to Ciri. Get ready for this. Ciri's a princess in the
Syntra.
Syntra. Princess of Syntra. They get attacked by Nilfgaard. She escapes. Nilfgaard.
Nilfgaard.
Nilfgaard. I'm misreading Nilfgaardian. That's what it was. She escapes. She meets a friend who's like an elf dude. They go into a forest. They get tricked to come out of the forest.
By a Doppler.
By
a Doppler.
They get away, but... And then, you know, by chance, she runs into Geralt right at the end. She's like, who's Yennefer? Mm. How do we feel about Ciri? Because, again, I feel like this is the weakest. It had the most repetitive plot line, I think. Obviously, just one character on the run the entire time. There's not much you can do there, especially with younger, like a younger person. There's not a lot. Like, other than teasing like her powers and whatever mystery is behind that, there wasn't a lot to her story that was terribly interesting to me.
I like it the most. The reason I like it the most, I feel like it's the least eventful storyline because it takes place over the shortest amount of time and she has the least to work with. However, I really like it because it is a story. I mean, it's a sort of stereotypical story, but it's still a story of this kind of princessy. Well, I mean, she's a princess character who literally has to go through shit and learn to be stronger and like, out in the big world and discovering like what's it like outside the walls for the first time, basically. I mean, she goes out and like hangs with the commoners and whatever else, but like, you know, outside big world, what the fuck are you? What's this? Where am I going? I have no idea. Got told one thing, find Geralt. Who the fuck's that? You know, like, I feel like her performance is really, really good, like quite strong, and how she has to go through so much horrible stuff. And, in fact, her and Yen just go through the most fucked up shit. And Geralt's just like going around, and what's the worst thing that happens to him all season? He loses the girl.
No, he almost dies at one point.
He almost dies several times. Sturger.
That's just part of the job, though. You know,
it's just part of the job.
He almost dies in the last episode. Part of the job.
That's not a big deal. You know,
he got bitten by those zombies.
She basically went through torture. She was nearly. Acid, I mean, I don't have to say, but I feel like she was nearly gang. Yeah.
Yeah, but Geralt's whole life is kind of like whole life is a shitty mess for him. Like,
it's his job.
Geralt was unjustifiably prisoned.
Just part of his job.
It's all just part of his job. What? Yeah. When he freaking? How is the whole crap of the first episode his job? Where he gets asked to do this thing, he's like, "Nah, brah, not doing this thing." She goes talk to her. He talks to this. He meets this girl. He's really likes her.
The Blaviken thing's a shitty situation.
Yeah.
Worse than what happens to Ciri.
No, but it's still bad. Like, that is just a day in the life of fucking Geralt. How about he got eaten by a fucking something in a lake at one point?
Yeah, it's part of the job.
Just part of the job. Just part of the job.
He knows it's part of the job.
That's the worst way to write that off. Oh, yeah, my God.
A job that he got conscripted to.
He got forced into that. He got not only put through the normal Witcher mutations, they were like, you know what? You're going to be a Project Scorpio Witcher. Come through here and we're going to give you some new fucking testing drugs.
It feels like it's all spoilers.
I was about to say.
How is that spoilers? It's told in the series.
I don't think they covered that in the first
season. Yeah, they did. Yes, because he says, no, he has a conversation at one point where he says he was put through a lot more stuff than normal witches are.
Yeah, that's a throwaway line and you're like fully expanding it.
He still says it.
It's one of those hard things. Okay. I'm like, what can I say that's in the games and in the books that they haven't said in case people only watch the first season? I don't know. Anyway.
Yes,
somehow I'm talking about the fucking Ciri and we end up back on Geralt. Jesus Christ. I liked the storyline. Thought it was good. I think she's a really good actress.
They're
really
intertwined. The destinies are intertwined.
They're very strong. I like the Destiny stuff. I think the Destiny stuff is very important to The Witcher in general. Like, I mean, the whole fucking storyline is literally about Destiny. Like, Geralt and Ciri's storyline is Destiny. So, like, I get that it's a bit hammy or whatever, but I'm like, that is the story. It's Destiny.
Even Yennefer's storyline is Destiny, just in a different way, where hers is about making her own destiny or trying to control destiny for herself.
So if anyone at the end is like, it's a bit weird that she just runs up and hugs him. I don't think it is because...
I fucking love that moment. I absolutely love the shit out of that moment.
Yeah, I mean, that's just...
Like, even though that's the only time you see those two together for the entire fucking
show,
just feeling the chemistry that's there between them, just in that one single moment, was like it. Like for Geralt, that hug means so fucking much because he's just almost died. He's had all these visions about how he, where he was as a kid. He's finally accepting his destiny. And she comes running up to him and hugs him. She's scared for her life and is finally thinks she found she's found this person that's looking for her, that is she's been told is her destiny by her dying grandmother. And for him, this is everything. Like this is
you can't laugh at that and then accept the girl like her mother getting with the porcupine. Because the only reason they get together is destiny as well. You know? They didn't fall in love for any other reason than it was destiny, you know? And, like, it's he's a fucking Sonic the Hedgehog, right? So at the end where she hugs him, it's like, why the heck? It feels right. It feels good because it's destiny. And that's literally what the storyline of the show is. So if you can't buy into it, good luck with the rest of the shit, you know? So anyway, I enjoyed the storyline. There's just not that much to talk about, obviously.
Karen. For me, I think she has moments that are really good. I think the way that like some of the parts play out is really strange. Like the Doppler storyline just kind of happens and there's not really like a crescendo to that bit. There's just like the Doppler all of a sudden decides to just peace out and go running after Nilfgaard.
Explain what Dopplers were in the first season.
Yeah, sure. But then I think, yeah, just for, there's key moments throughout it that I think are very important for her as a character. I think rewatching the second time you see her scene with her grandmother in on her deathbed and stuff, where the second time where you see all the stuff that you didn't get to see through the first time where about Geralt and her trying to arrange for Geralt to be there. And just the fact that her, Geralt and her were so close, even just in the very first scene you see Ciri where she looks back and she is just looking at something, and then in the second time you watch it, you know Geralt was there. It's just that there's just a whole lot of change there where it makes it really interesting, and I think even though nothing really happened, this is still important. I think, I really liked the scene, even though it was kind of messed up with where she got surrounded by the guys and in the end she wakes up and she's in like a fucking field that's been destroyed and everybody's been ruined. Killed them all. It's just like, you know, and the lady that she stole a horse for comes and saves her and brings her back to her house and whatever, and it's all destiny playing out. But I mean
her powers aren't like she has powers. Like she destiny didn't swoop in and throw the guys out of her way.
Yes. Like, no. She has powers, but it's destiny that links everything together for her.
Yeah.
You know, it's a lot of the times she escapes or survives, it's through a lot of moments of chance or things that are like, you know, when she is kind of frozen and stuck watching that little dwarf stab into the lady that she's been, you know, spending the last day or whatever with. And then her elf friend saves her in that moment. There's a lot of just those moments of chance. The little dwarf, you were like, yeah, get her.
Yeah, because she was treating him like fucking, yeah. She was being a dwarf.
Ciri didn't even racist give back the shoes. Yeah. Just whatever.
Yeah.
But I still think, and I think it did have the least to do. It had kind of, sometimes I was like, okay, you're just kind of chucking Ciri moments in to fill time now. There was a couple episodes where there was barely any Ciri in the episode, and I just, like, halfway through the episode, be like, oh, fuck, we haven't seen her in, like, this episode yet. That's a bit weird. But I think the actress does a really good job as Ciri. I think she's got the most growth ahead of her as a character because, you know, she's about to not only have this mentor in Geralt, but everything else that happens with her. So it's going to be really interesting to see that play out.
Is Yasuo the breakout star of the season?
Is Jaskier the breakout star of this show?
Yes. The Peter Dinklage, sure. Tyrion equivalent.
No. Let's look at that.
I don't think.
Not he as has... serious, not as political, but like in that first season, everyone was talking about Tyrion because it was like the drunken dwarf guy.
And I feel like everyone's just talking about Carol. My standout character is Geralt, just because everyone's already cut out all the fuck lines, which I find hilarious. So, I saw another person put a montage on Twitter of all the so I was like, okay. So,
I think
Geralt's stand up.
No, the only problem for Yaskir throughout this is he's very much used as a plot device almost to move Geralt into places that he needs to be and to connect things up to Geralt.
Yeah, because they don't have, there's no, in the books, it's just short story ends.
Yeah, exactly.
Short story starts, he's somewhere else. So for a TV show, they're like, TV audiences need a reason. Get from A to B.
I understand. And it's just that he's used as that plot device. So then he's put into sections where Yaskir is not supposed to be there, and like they're
the dinner part, the whatever you want to call
banquet.
The ceremony, the whatever. Like that show starts, it's just like him in the bath, and then be like, "Why was I invited here? Fuck, I don't know, Geralt. Why was you invited here? You know." I think I'm not as attached to that story that has a million and one changes to it as like I know Nick. It sounds like wasn't a big fan of Peep's changes. I personally think they changed it. I wouldn't say for the better, but for the better of TV show format. And having Yaskir there singing the song, love it. You know? Also, Toss a Coin to Your Witcher, I guess, is a breakout song. But I don't think that makes Yaskir a standout character. It just makes it a very good song that's top of the pops.
For everybody, maybe not for you, Ash, because you haven't played the games or that much, or you haven't got that much of a reference. I already was going to love Yaskir because Dandelion's one of my favorite Dandelion, who is the equivalent of Yaskir and whatever.
It's the same character, they just changed his name.
Same character, just different name. Is my one of my favorite fantasy characters of all time because I just fucking love him. Because
you like bards.
I like bards, and that's my character style. And when I play D&D, is just the shit talking asshat that gets himself into trouble, and somebody else has to bail him out. And I think that's always the greatest thing about Geralt and his relationship is that. It's like in school, it's the mouthy kid that has made best friends with the largest kid in the class. Like, he knows he's got backup and he's fine and he doesn't mean to do, he doesn't mean to get himself in these situations. He just does because he's an idiot. I think, my favorite scene for him was almost the scene where everybody is talking about Geralt as if he's dead in the tavern and then Geralt comes in covered in guts. And, Yaskir is just like, yeah, I knew it. That's fine. I knew what was going on here. Mm. And just that change, it's just, I do dig that relationship. I hope there's more place for him. Even just, I think he has the most quotable or quote unquote memeable sections of the show just because that's what his character is. Toss a coin, put it on Spotify already. It's a banger. But even just the scene where he wakes up with Yennefer and he's awkwardly trying to talk himself out of trying to get out. I think the line is that he left his cat on the stove or something.
Yeah.
yes.
And just those little moments, you're just like, yep, that's exactly.
I enjoy his dislike of Yennefer. I think that's an amusing twist.
It's, I think he has a very weird relationship with Yennefer, even in the books. Even in the books, he's very much like, hey, Geralt, she's bad. She's not. No, don't do that. It's very funny that you have he's a character that gets himself into some really terrible relationships or weird positions of relationships, and yet he's the one that sees that Yennefer's bad out of him and Geralt. It's always really amusing.
No, he's just jealous. The other person I want to quickly touch on is let's get that ship going. Triss. I know that's a character in the games. Didn't realize she was a character until the last episode, even though she showed up previous. How do we feel about Triss's treatment in this show?
She's not in it that much in the first part, as far as I'm aware, because I haven't finished reading all the books yet, obviously.
Only mentioned in the in where this is taken out of. Only ever referenced to. She's not actually in it with Geralt. She isn't where she has her big episode moment in episode 3 with Foltest. Mm-hmm. She's not involved in that.
She's definitely not there. So as far as if she gets heavily more involved later in the books, I have no idea because I haven't got there yet. Comparing to her in the games, obviously, because I feel like that's where most people compare it to, her being in the games. She was a big part of Witcher 2 and then obviously she's a big part of Witcher 3 as well. But I still, it's still always just been him and Yennefer in the books. So
I don't think there'll be any. I don't think they'll ever kind of
love triangle.
Maybe they will, but I don't think they'll suggest it anytime.
I don't think they will. The love triangle thing was the games, as far as I can tell. You know.
Yeah, even just unless they kind of maybe reference to Triss having an affection for Geralt that isn't quite returned, maybe.
They could have a one-off, but like he can have one-offs with many different sorcerers and whatever else, that's fine. But the game very much makes, especially the third game, is obviously like love triangle makes you pick which girl
which
you
one
want.
You want
to, you know, yeah. Which works as a gameplay thing, I guess, but for telling a story,
yeah, we don't need that, you know.
In fact, how about we don't have older girls fighting over the guy storyline, because that's an overdone trope, and instead we just have Triss and Yennefer just be best buddies, and they can pass the burn doll test and have conversations not about Geralt. Good job, everyone. That's some witchcraft. Birthdoll test. I keep calling the Birthdoll test after John Birthdoll.
They can just, you know, both bond over tossing their friends into a pool as they've been turned into eels.
Yeah,
you know?
There you go.
Yeah.
Just,
that's what you do.
That kind of thing.
Sometimes you just need to kick eels into a lake. A pond.
Eels into a pond. I think she was left in a really weird position that was kind of like, how does she survive this at all? Like, but obviously there's going to be a reason and a response or some magical stuff that's happened to save her or whatever. But I think she was added because I think she was added into Foltest's episode as another link between Yennefer's stories and Geralt's stories, because I could understand her being in Yennefer's story a lot, being around her because they are friends. Mm. But it's just a little, yeah, it's a little different that she got added there, and I didn't mind her. I don't think there's anything too much, but I don't think we got to see that much of her actual character. Like, I don't think she actually got that much emotional character development at all. She was almost like an NPC in the, like, you know, somebody who's giving Geralt information and working with Geralt rather than actually a character.
Okay. So we should probably wrap this up, but what are your hopes for season 2? Obviously, you've read the book, so you've probably got a better idea of what is coming, but do you expect there to be much of a time jump between now and the second season? Or do things pick up right after the hug?
I think they need to pick up right after, or reasonably close to where we left for Geralt and Ciri storyline, because I really don't want to miss much of their getting to know each other and that kind of growth as characters phase. Because I think it's the first time for Geralt, it's going to be very interesting to see him again in the TV show, of how he deals now with having this new companion that he has to protect and while still doing Witcher things at the same time. It'll be interesting to see if they end up at Kaer Morhen at all next season. Like, that'll be really fun. Which is the home of the Witchers. It's mentioned a couple times in the TV show, but it's not. Let's go with this rumor. So there's
Let me boil this down. Someone tweet that Mark Hamill, would you play this role? He responds, because he's a funny guy, I would love to, because he's a fucking actor and
because
he's
currently
love
out of work,
role, basically.
Yeah.
Because he's currently out of work. I don't know if you know Star Wars is over. So then fucking shitty news headlines start writing, Mark Hamill's down to play, blah, 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 blah. And he then responds to that headline that's like, yeah, I still don't know what the character is, but I'm down to play it. Like, it's not a story.
You think that isn't how Henry Cavill got the role?
Henry Cavill went to someone and said, hey, can we make this a fucking
you've had this. I know I've heard you've had this, like, the license for this and everything for years. I want to help you get it done because it's great. I don't see Mark Hamill as Vesemir. I really don't.
Okay.
Vesemir is just, I don't know. Like, Vesemir as a character has to be almost very imposing and very, I want to use the word large, but large isn't quite the best word. Like, he has to be an imposing and very, I can't even think of the words at the minute, but very kind of disciplined character that is very straightforward in Geralt. And then his and Geralt's relationship is very fatherly throughout it. And I just, I don't see Mark Hamill doing it quite right, so to say.
My season two quick one sentence is it's going to be it's going to start straight away or pretty much straight away. It could start with another character or another scene flashback, but either way you're going to pick up straight away. Then they're going to have to figure out what the hell happens with Yennefer. And then they're going to spend most of the series on their way to Kaer Morhen. And along the way, they're going to bump into random other storylines and events that could happen. There's one really cool one that's in the first book, The Last Wish, that pretty much is just Geralt and his another character having a back forth inside of a house. I think if they tell that story with Ciri there, then they could like make it more work for a TV audience, because as it is, it would be very boring to watch in the show. So there's lots of things like that they could work in, and then you end the season with them at Kaer Morhen, blah 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 blah, and then season three they can get into the other stuff that I don't think I can say because it kind of spoils what series storyline ends up being. So
a little while ago.
Yeah, so either way, saying that they're probably going to go to Kaer Morhen, which is what happens in the book for a reason, other than the fact that it's Geralt's home. There you go.
Cool. I just want more Gaskia, more songs. Give us more songs.
Yeah, because they can bump into him on the road, you know, and all these sort of things. So yeah,
just buddy cop adventure across the world. That's what I want.
Yeah. I actually want to see more of Yaskir. Well, not more, but see it is Yaskir in series. Like, how Yaskir reacts to Ciri being there and stuff, because I can almost feel him being very, like,
threatened, you know?
What's this? What are you doing?
A new best friend? Yeah. All right.
Well, hopefully Deadline gets, Yaskir gets his new best friend anyway, so it's fine.
Ooh, hints. All right, thank you very much for listening. If you want to check us out on Twitter, Dylan is at Viva Ladil, VivaLadil. Kieran is at Your Boy Ringo, and I'm at Ashley Hobley, ashleybley. And follow the Explosion Network there on Twitter at Explosion Pod. You should check out explosionnetwork.com for all our reviews, news, videos, and podcasts, including this one, What Do You Want to Watch? Which you'll find on all podcast services, or go to youtube.com/explosionnetwork. To see all our video content. Yes, so thank you very much for listening. Be sure to toss a coin to your Twitcher or us at ko-fi.com/explosion and keep watching stuff, I guess.
Toss a coin to your Witcher, oh Valley of Plenty, oh Valley of Plenty, oh. Toss a coin to your Witcher, oh Valley of Plenty.